reading is taken from the book of Ruth, and it's chapter 1 and found on page 267 if you've got the church Bible. Naomi loses her husband and sons. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband, even if I thought there was still hope for me. Even if I had a husband tonight and gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought great misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, we've been looking at spiritual gifts of service. And it might seem a strange reading to have when we're looking at teaching. I mean, what has Ruth and Naomi's story got to do with teaching? We'll get to that in a bit. In Romans 12, 6, 8, which we've been looking at, it says, if it is teaching, so we have different gifts and according to the grace given to each of us, if it is teaching, then teach. Well, we've done our learning, haven't we? We're all here? Been through school? We're done, right? You know everything? Okay, so what do you do to learn more?
Google it.
Like it. Read. Listen to other people. Somebody said something about ask mum. Sounds fair. Well, right, you can't tell jokes so quietly I can't hear you. That's not fair. We've got so much to learn, don't you think? The more I learn, the more I know what I don't know. The more I realise how much more I need to learn. I was told this morning that I can't replace the lawn on my garden at the manse. I didn't know that. Well, not now. Apparently, you don't do it now. You can't plant a lawn or put turf down now. Everyone's shaking their heads. I didn't know. I've not had a garden. I thought you just dug the old rubbish stuff up and then laid new stuff. No, apparently I've got to wait till April. So I learned something this morning. Not what I expected to learn, but it was what I've learned this morning. Now, I know you are all looking very attentively and excitedly at what's in front of me. Is that? Grow your own lawn. That'll be interesting out of what I've got here. Now, I knew what I was preaching on. As I say, I prepared earlier this week. And I was like, how are we going to visually learn about teaching? Because we do have a tendency to, we can look for learning, but do we look for who we can teach? So you do know things. You do have giftings. You do have things you're good at. Yeah? Come on, there's not one person in this room who isn't good at something. But do you look for someone to teach? You know when you don't know something to go and find out where. You Google and ask mum and talk to people and read. But do you ever think about what I have and what I know and what I know how to do? Do I actually look for someone to teach that to? No. It's not the way we think, is it? But Jesus did, didn't he? Jesus spent his entire ministry teaching. Now, you could turn around and go, yeah, but that was Jesus. But actually, aren't we supposed to follow Jesus' example? So God's telling us we need a mind shift. So instead of just looking for that person to learn from, we need to be looking for someone to teach. So if you've been a Christian for a long time and you know a lot about being a Christian, how about meeting up with someone who hasn't been a Christian for a long time? How about meeting up even just with friends and going, what has God taught you this week? And here's what God taught me. We can learn from each other, but actually we can also teach each other. Now, it's really interesting in churches. There's always somebody going, anybody have a barbecue? Anyone know how to do a lawn? Anybody know how to be a treasurer, a secretary? Who can bake cakes? And isn't it interesting that normally there's one person? That when you ask that question, who can make a cake? Somebody will instantly give you a name. But it's the person who's always making the cake. So shouldn't that person who can make cakes be teaching somebody else to make cake as well? If I'm really, really good at cakes, I'm not, by the way. So anyone that is, you're very welcome to teach me anytime you like. be teaching someone else. If you're a treasurer, sorry, Chris, it's the only one I can think of here at the minute, then, so, Chris is the treasurer, if nobody knew. Chris is our treasurer, but we were having a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and I said, does anyone else know how the accounts work at the church? No. That might be a little bit of a problem. Because there needs to be somebody that's being taught. Now, don't look at me. I don't do numbers. But it is something we need to think about. As a minister, is there people that I can teach to do the bits of my job ready for me not to be here? Yeah? So we have a tendency to think, I'm good at this, I'll work in this space, this is my gift, and I'll hold on to it. I'm going to challenge you to share it, because we're asked to teach. It is a gift that is given to us that we are asked to share for the strength and the goodness of the church. So I'm mulling all of this and thinking about this and going, how on earth do I do this in church? How do I do this on Sunday morning to get you to kind of grasp hold of this? And lo and behold, while I'm going to get coffee, surprise, surprise, a conversation starts talking about making pasta. Now, I've always wanted to know how to make pasta, and everybody tells me it's not that difficult when you know how to do it. I'm like, well, that's with everything, isn't it? Everything's easier if you know how to do it. But I don't. I've watched it on the TV and it never makes sense, okay? It's like, it just doesn't make sense to me. But then Carol's saying, okay, I'll teach you how to make pasta. So, guess what? Carol's going to come and teach me how to make pasta. So, right, she did know about this beforehand. I haven't just said to her this morning, can you... Oh, yeah, I'll go and wash my hands.
Can I put this into context? At our school, we always do something for Mother's Day and Father's Day. Our business manager and school secretary got together and decided it'd be a really good idea if the teachers got all the children to make pasta. For the dads to eat, the cooks would cook it, and the dads would eat it on the Friday. So that's where that came from.
Oh, well, at least you know I did them then. That's the sound guy's fault, not mine. At least I didn't go to the loo at the same time, eh? I washed my hands, miss.
Good. Right, so your first task is to weigh out 200 grams of flour, plain flour.
Sorry?
She doesn't do numbers.
I don't do numbers. I've not got to add anything up, I just need to... Oh,
nope, battery's low, that's not a good start, is it?
Yeah?
Yep. I'm also going to say I got out of teaching them how to make pasta because I took year six swimming.
I thought you said
200.
Oh, see, I told you I don't do numbers. Do you want me to get a spoon and take it out?
No, you've washed your hands. You can put fingers in. You're going to be manhandling it anyway.
First lesson, listen.
Right, normally you do this on a surface, but I bought a tray so we don't make the surface too dirty. You tip that onto the tray in a neat heap. Now you make a well in the centre with your fingers. Bigger than that, so it's going to be easy.
I'm making a volcano. Better?
Right. Now you're going to cracks the eggs into the centre.
And all over the table. I wasn't good at this.
Now, with the fork, you're going to whisk the eggs. Is that, keep whisking. And now, depending on how messy you want to do, you can slowly bring the flour in with the fork, or you can put your hand straight in. I did it with the fork, to be honest. So now, bring it in from around the edges. And sit. And keep going.
Right, there, yeah, I can't control that. Hang on.
You're going to get really messy.
Okay. Mark's going, yeah, what's new?
Can you use whole wheat flour? Is it plain?
I don't know. I did it with plain because that's what the school had bought, so I looked up recipes for plain flour.
I think you can.
Well, they make wholemeal pasta, don't they?
Yeah.
It's whether you can get it fine enough, isn't it? I don't know.
I'm learning. Keep going.
I'm going. Sorry. Alison's laughing at this point because she saw me make scones. Sorry, scones. Sorry.
The books say two people, but I did do a trial run yesterday and it's way too much for two people.
Okay.
Just keep going.
Just keep going.
Just keep going. Now start kneading it as if it's bread and bring all the flour in.
I was going to say, it's not taking any more
flour. It will. It will take all of it. Honest.
Okay. I believe you.
And now you've got to knead for 5 minutes until it's nice and smooth.
Okay, God, whose bright idea was this? I broke new tray.
That's all right, don't worry.
Should I go on the table instead?
No, keep it. That's fine.
Now that I've broken your tray, we'll just keep going. Yeah, just if you push down on the tray, it...
It gives it the edges. Come on, let's get in there. Keep going. This is where you can take all your aggression out on.
I wonder what I'm taking my aggression out on. Not you, I didn't mean you as I look. I needed an aerial yesterday and we were near a B&Q and both Mark and I looked at each other and went, man. So we went somewhere else. This is tight. This isn't easy.
You have to keep going. It does ease up, but it does take about 5 minutes.
Okay. Talk about yourselves for 5 minutes, will we?
I need that. Here's one I made earlier. Machine. A pasta maker. No, you can do it with a rolling pin and just roll it and then cut it. That, which is what we did at school. We didn't have a pasta. Yes.
Didn't tell me I was going to the gym this morning.
Oh no, flour everywhere.
What? Sorry, it'll mix in with the dust from the manse.
Right, would you like me to finish it off while you carry on?
Am I allowed to take my clean my hands first?
Right.
Excuse me.
Basically, you carry.
Yeah. Do you want to turn my mic off first?
You keep going, and it takes 5 minutes. And when you can push your finger in, it bounces back, which it's not. It is ready. So I shall carry on over there in a minute. And then you have to put it in cling wrap and leave in the fridge for half an hour. Pardon? No. You can come off and do it if you like. I wasn't in school Friday, so I shall find out tomorrow what they thought of the pasta. No, it just says, that's it, flat. They actually say use pasta flour, which is finer, but it works with plain. Yeah, double O stuff. way too expensive to do for the children. The school decided. Right, I'll put that to one side. I'll cling wrap it in a minute. And we've got half an hour. You've got half an hour.
Glasses. As you can tell, I've not done that before. It's good though, isn't it? It's nice being taught something. I don't know if Carol would agree that it's good to teach something.
It is.
It is. It's enriching to share what we know. Okay? And I told you I was going to tell you what Ruth and Naomi had to do with it. Can anyone make a guess? What does Ruth and Naomi have to do with what we've been talking about? I got pasta on my hands for weeks. Go on. Anyone? Naomi taught her how to glean. She did. Naomi has moved because of a famine in Bethlehem to Moab with her husband and her two sons. While there, her two sons got married. And then her husband and her sons died. The tradition within the culture at that time is that if your husband dies, you will marry their brother. Because as a widow, you're unprotected, you have no provision, and therefore, that's also why Jesus tells us to look after widows. Because... Sorry?
Only if you didn't have a son.
Only if you didn't have a son to look after you. Yes, thank you, Fran. Yes, you're right. Which Naomi's daughters-in-law didn't. So that's what we're talking about. That's the situation she's in. And because Naomi is now without a husband, is unlikely to get a husband, she is releasing her daughters-in-law to go and find new husbands in their own land, because she's going to go back to the people she knows. The famine's now gone. She knows that she can find family members who will look after her. But Ruth doesn't. Ruth is prepared to give up everything she knows just to go with Naomi. Now, we heard from that passage, Naomi's in a pretty bad way, isn't she? Understandable. She's just lost her husband, she's just lost both her sons, and she is trying to just get away from it all. Had enough, I'm leaving. Know the feeling. We've all had times like that, haven't we? We've been in situations and we're like, yeah, had enough of this. But Ruth sees Naomi and goes, obviously sees something in her and wants to be with her. Naomi's not so keen, but Ruth hangs on. It's a blessing when we ask others to teach us, because it blesses not only us, but them as well, because it's good to teach. So Ruth is leaving everything for Naomi, her culture. She's going to be so far away from home. She's got to go on a very long journey, which is perilous. It's quite possible they won't survive. There's bandits. There's rough country. But she trusts Naomi. And Naomi teaches her. Naomi gets her safely to Bethlehem. She's done the journey before. She knows the route. She knows the dangerous bits. She knows where to stop, I expect. She's done it already. And then Naomi spends, if you continue reading Ruth, Naomi starts to teach Ruth. She teaches her the way that that culture works. She's teaching her how to approach Boaz. brain went on a dead there. She's showing her and teaching her all the things she knows in order for her to survive. Bit by bit, she's there for her. And even when she's found her feet, she knows where she is now, she's about to get married and everything, you could think she could go, all right, I can rest now. But that's not what it's like. When we teach people, we have a connection with them. Can anybody think of someone in your life who's taught you something that you're never going to forget? Yeah? Can you think of someone? Driving instructors. Yeah, I don't keep in touch with my driving instructor. Probably because it was such a nightmare to teach me how to drive, but, you know. How about in... Do you still keep in touch with those people? Anybody keep in touch with them still? Parents. And your first teachers at school. How about the person who first shared the gospel with you? Was there somebody that might not necessarily have been the first time you heard the gospel, but it's the first time they shared it in a way that it ignited in you? For me, it was an evangelist called Steve. I knew the gospel. I'd been brought up in a Christian home. But for me, all the Christians I look at were, I just saw people who were hypocritical. They'd say one thing, tell me things that I could and couldn't do, but then would live however they fancied. So I'd be in church and I'd listen to a preach from the front about not gossiping, and before I'd even left the building, everybody would be in little groups and huddles gossiping. I was brought up in a small country village. The Lord of the Manor still owned the village. So everyone knew everyone. So gossiping was a natural thing to do, I guess. And in my young head, I was a teenager coming into being a teenager at the time, didn't make sense to me. I'm like, hang on a minute, the guy at the front has just said not to do this, and you've not even left the building yet, and you're doing it. And for me, that stayed so powerfully that for me, all Christians must be hypocrites. Because why would I think anything else? Went my own way. Never not believing in God, but he had his life, I had mine. Do what you like. And then when I was 26, my daughter asked me, are Catholics Christian? Very provocative question. Because she was at a Catholic school. And why was it, she kept asking all these different questions. Why do I have to go to confession? Why have I never been to confession? All these questions. I didn't know all the answers. And I kind of thought, I need to know where I stand. I need to have a definite answer to how this all works. So I walked into a church. I'm one of those rare people who literally walks off the street and goes, teach me. I was put on an alpha course and they started teaching me and I started arguing, surprisingly. And boy, did I argue. Because I needed to know. I needed to understand because I didn't want to be what I had seen in church. I'm like, if I'm going to be a Christian and if you want me to follow Jesus, I've got to do it properly. I'm not going to do this where I'll say one thing and do another. I want to do this right. I don't want someone to look at me and go, you're a hypocrite. Because it had ingrained in me that much and it had affected me that much as a child. I was arguing black was white just because I needed to understand. And anybody who spends time in a theological discussion with me will know that I'm really good at arguing black is white and white is black. And you won't necessarily know where I stand until the conversation ends. Because I need to know, I need to learn, I need to understand. So I'll ask lots of questions. And then one Sunday morning, I don't do mornings. I do mornings better now than I used to. But I didn't do mornings. Really didn't do mornings. And definitely not Sunday mornings. Because that was my day off. I could do what I liked. And now you want me to go to church. And you're always in the morning. You know. And normally early. And I was like, okay, I'll commit for a while. But you're going to have to show me that this is real. So I've been going begrudgingly. And one morning I got up, my car wouldn't start. So I got in the car, turned, nothing. Absolutely nothing. It kind of went, and I'm like, that doesn't sound good. Now, I don't know anything about cars. I've since learned some things about cars, but at that point I had no clue what was going on. So I started yelling. And boy, did I yell at God that morning. Look what I've been doing. I've been getting up. I've been looking for you. I've been trying to understand. And here I am, first thing in the morning, with a bleary-eyed four-year-old. Get this car started! And I'm screaming and yelling. And then I went, you know what? I'm done. If you don't start this car, that's it. I'm never going back. I'm never doing anything. And as you can tell, because I'm here, the car started. But what was even more amazing, because you can make all the arguments in the world why the car started. One gentleman who knows a bit about cars said, you probably flooded the engine. And while you were arguing with God, you unflooded the engine, if you say so. When I walked into church, the preach that Sunday was about not feeling good enough, which had always been in the back of all my questions and all my understanding. There's no way I'm good enough. No way. And he was talking about how that is not what's important. What's important is accepting God and then letting him teach you. And then a lovely gentleman called Steve Hurd, who ran the Alpha Group, just got up, sat next to me as soon as the service ended and went, you and I need to talk, don't we? And here I am. He gave me away at my wedding because he became my spiritual dad. Because he saw I wanted to learn and he could teach. He saw that God had his hand on me and he saw me suddenly surrender to what God had. He had a gift of knowing when to teach, of how to teach. And he will always, that day will forever be in my head. I'm never going to forget it. Because I learned so much and I was taught so much. But what's interesting as well is, I don't know if you've noticed, can you name some of the times that Jesus sent the disciples out to go and give things a go by themselves?
Caesarea Philippi.
Yeah. So Jesus would teach them, wouldn't he? And then he'd send them off. Go and have a go. I've taught you this. Now I want you to go and have a go. He never did it on their own. He never said, go off on your own and come back and share later. Did he? It was always Luke 10, after this, the Lord anointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place he was about to go. Mark 6:7. He summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs, giving them authority over unclean spirits. Matthew 21:1. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples. Two disciples went to sort the Last Supper out. They were sent in twos. Don't know about you, I learn better when I'm with somebody. I learn better from Carol teaching me how to do pastor than I do out of a book or a TV. Mind you, somebody has to write the book and somebody has to do the TV program. So, but I learn better with someone. Jesus did that constantly. I've taught you, now go. But go with someone else. Don't go by yourself. So he's still looking after them. He's still saying, look after one another. And he's still there when he's needed. Because we know they came back sometimes and didn't do so great. But that's all right, because Jesus just taught them some more and sent them back out. And it's the same for us. But what I'd like you to remember today, more than how to make pasta or a mess like I've achieved, is what do you have that you can teach? What do you know that you think someone else might not and might benefit from knowing? And if you have something that you want to learn and you see somebody who's good at it, ask them. I am absolutely atrociously bad at dates and birthdays. Ask any of my family or friends. Not good at it. It's not that I don't care about you. Just not my gift. So I've always had somebody in my life who I spend time with who's good at it, because I'm hoping it'll rub off on me eventually. And I'm getting better, slowly. But they teach me. How do they plan it? I am learning. So what have you got that could help and teach someone? Because all of us have something. Now, I'm not saying, as a teacher, come up here and teach. Although there are those of you here who do have that gifting. And later in the year, we're hoping to do some time and teaching together to encourage that and blossom that. But what I'm talking about is walking the Christian life together and sharing what you know. We've all got something. God has given each of us gifts, and they're for the blessing of the church. So share them. Teach somebody about them. Do you think you can do that? No? If you think you can, this is the uncomfortable bit. I'd like to stand up. I'm going to pray for you. There was going to be a day. It's not today. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the gifts you plant are continuing to bless this church with. I pray that now you would send your spirit to help those here to know what they're good at, what you've blessed them with, and allow them to walk alongside someone, to share with them, to teach them how they can live with you closer. Bless them now, pray. Amen. You can sit down. How long have we got of our half an hour left? We can try and see if it works. How long have we got? It's fine, because I can... About another 10 minutes. That's fine. We'll wait. Can we do worship now? We're going to mix things up a bit, because...
keep one till the end. So just do two. Is that all right?
Captured by your holy calling, send me a power. grafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all my life through.
I don't know how long this bit takes. And we don't know how long it takes with me trying it.
A couple of minutes.
We hope.
I'm not going to make you do it all.
Good.
Right, you need to take that out and cut it in a quarter.
You should get me to do numbers again.
Oh, yes. Quite stiff. Mm-hmm. And then if you wrap the other bit back up and then. You'll need a little bit of flour on your hand and mould it into an oblong, I would say.
An oblong?
An oblong, yes. Oblong. It goes through the machine better.
Like a sausage?
No, sort of flat. Like a
flat. Like a
brick.
Like a brick. Mini pit. Oh, that's.
That will do.
Is that okay?
Yeah, make sure there's flour on both sides. Now, this is the fun bit. I'm going to stand this side because you'll have to stand. You've got to feed it through there and turn the handle at the same time. So you
do two things at once.
That's it. And it comes out on that side. Adam?
Hey! It's coming out wonky.
Just keep going.
Oh,
that's all right. It just slots in.
It's not broken. It just slots in.
Right. That's the first bit. Now, you have to pull that back, push it forward, and ratchet it down one. So that's a slightly smaller space. Let's make sure there's plenty of flour on it. Okay.
Right?
Yep. Doing it again. And again.
I was going to say, how are we going to cook it?
In water. Here.
Yeah. I'll cook it here and take it. No, you could cook it. Yay, look at that. See, when you do this on the TV, it comes out in a nice, like, even strip.
Yeah. Shall I put some more flour on? Oh, okay.
So you can't do it like this side, it has to go that side?
It's easier because it comes out that side.
All right.
And should be the last one.
It won't go in. Oh, now it's really going wonky.
Okay. Right, now you grab that attachment. I'm going to take this one out of here, and it literally just slides onto there with those bits, so it goes
that way.
That way.
That way. Okay. Oh, I slide it on.
Onto those bits, just down here. See those bits?
Yeah. Oh!
Right, so now you can have...
Now I get it.
Tagliatelle or spaghetti.
What are we having? Tagliatelle.
So,
where'd it go?
It's down there.
Now you know why I can't find anything. This way, same way or different way?
Yep, into there and turn.
Hey, look!
There you go. And now you put it on a tray.
Wow! I made tagliatelle!
And leave to dry.
Or and leave to dry?
You can cook it straight away or leave it to dry.
How long do you leave it to dry?
If you could do a couple of hours and then you could put it in the fridge and it'll last a few days, apparently.
I might have found a saucepan by then.
There you go.
I made tagliatelle! Thank you very
That's
much.
Okay. Anyone else who wants to have a try? There's three more bits there.
Now, the question is, could I actually manage that by myself?
Yes.
Yes.
You might need your glasses. So I don't want to break them. That's why I keep adding them back. So there you go. I learned something new today. How to make tagliatelle. Exciting. Gosh. Seems silly, doesn't it? But how fun it is just to learn something new. So, let's pray. I have had a number of prayer requests as well, so let's pray today. Lord, we bring before you the young man in Chelmsford Hospital who collapsed yesterday. And nobody knows what's wrong, but they're not sure he's going to make it. You know him. You know everything about him. You know what's wrong with him. You know what is going on. We pray that you would be with those who are looking after him. And Lord, we ask you to continually be with Brenda. Hold her close. Let her learn more of you and who she is in you. And Lord, for all those who are in new lands, driven from their homelands, be with them, strengthen them, and give them peace. And we pray, Lord, that you would allow them to connect with people who can teach them the culture of their new land, that can make them feel welcome and accepted for who they are. Lord, we ask your spirit on us that we would be open to your guidance. That you would pour out your giftings, that we would know what it is you are asking of us as a church and us as individuals. Lord, what is it that you are asking of us? What are you trying to teach us? Lord, I'd ask as well that each and every one of us would have someone close to us who could teach us and reveal you to us more. For Chelmsford, Lord, bring your spirit upon this city. Be in the hearts and minds of all those who live here. Give them space and time to hear your word. And Lord, all those that are on our hearts and minds right now, we offer them to you. Bless them and keep them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.